MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, as the immigration debate intensifies, two people have told MoneyWeb at midday they were stopped by SAPS officers, asked to prove their legal status, and then threatened with detention or deportation. Both allege that bribes were paid. Now, the SAPS tells us it cannot investigate without a case number and only enforces immigration laws set by Home Affairs. We then went to Home Affairs, who told us immigration officers take the lead with police playing a supporting role, but acknowledges that overlapping responsibilities can create opportunities for corruption and abuse. Neither department agreed to join us on air. But I do want to know what the law allows and where a line might be crossed. In that respect, I'm going to talk to James Chapman, who's head of advocacy and a legal advisor at the Scalabrini Centre of Cape Town. It's a non-profit that works to, as it says, welcome, protect, promote and integrate people into local communities. James, I don't know whether you've come across this before. Thank you for joining us. But where exactly does SAPS authority begin and Home Affairs authority take over? I sense it's a bit of a grey area.
Yes, that is correct. So you have cases that fall under the Immigration Act, which is the primary statute, but then you also have cases that fall under the Refugees Act, and I'll talk to that in a moment. Generally speaking, when you look at the arrests for the purposes of identification under Section 41 of the Immigration Act, the Immigration Act allows for a police officer or an immigration officer on reasonable grounds to require a person to identify themselves as either a citizen, permanent resident, or a foreign national, and must satisfy the police officer or immigration officer that they are entitled to be in the Republic.
What would amount to reasonable grounds for stopping someone then?
You see, that is where it becomes sort of problematic and gray area. It may be analogous to your criminal procedure, wherein, you know, there needs to be an indication. It needs to, the reasonable official, the reasonable officer, there must be some sign or indication that somebody is not lawfully present. In practice, though, it's often, it seems to be the rule rather than the exception, that most foreign nationals, whether it be in police or combined police and immigration raids, or even when a person approaches a police station, that the default is to require somebody to satisfy the police or immigration official that they're entitled to be in the Republic.
Just very bluntly, can a police officer demand immigration documents without an immigration officer present?
They may, in terms of Section 41, but it is without purpose if they don't incorporate as soon as possible immigration, because the whole basis for identification is that if somebody is found to be not to be entitled to be in the Republic, then the role falls squarely upon immigration then to process somebody in terms of Section 34 of the Immigration Act for the purposes of deportation. And that deportation process, there's a fresh assessment that has to happen from an immigration official as to whether or not the person should be deported, and if they should be deported, whether or not they should be detained pending their deportation. So there's also a possibility of release and processing without detention, but that's solely under immigration. So it doesn't really make sense to stop and ask unless there is something that is unless an operation in conjunction with immigration.
An accent or an appearance or nationality, can that be lawful ground for simply stopping and questioning someone?
It can't be. I mean, you how a person appears or their accent in and of itself, it can't be, because everybody is still protected by Section 9 of the Constitution, the right to equality, not to be unfairly discriminated against. You've seen numerous cases where, in terms of xenophobic violence, people are targeted because of how they appear and end up, you know, some are from South African ethnic minorities. There are also a lot of South African nationals who regrettably don't have documentation. So if you base it on how somebody appears or how they speak, you're in a very problematic space. You know, the police still must comply with the Police Act. It's the South African Police Services. It's not It shouldn't be that a person just by how they look or how they sound is immediately demanded of.
So I'm assuming then that the SAPS cannot threaten someone with deportation if Home Affairs has made no formal decision or adjudication.
They have no authority whatsoever. The deportation is solely within the ambit and mandate of the immigration inspector within the Department of Home Affairs.
And if a person, James, is stopped and a demand is made for a bribe from a police officer, what should the person do?
They need to refuse first and foremost. Secondly, they should lay a complaint. One can raise a complaint with Corruption Watch. One can, because you're dealing with the police, one can lay a complaint with the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. There's also recourse in terms of intimidation, harassment, unlawful arrest, brutality. Any of these cases, you can take both a civil and criminal recourse against them. But yeah, the long story short, it should be to refuse. And then also to report.
And just a final question, are you worried against the current backdrop that it's going to be difficult or becoming increasingly difficult to enforce immigration law without enabling profiling, intimidation, as I've suggested, or even what could amount to an abuse of power?
Well, I am worried. I'm also hopeful that we will see more positive conduct, more responsible engagement by politicians. You have the National Action Plan Against Racism and Xenophobia, and a real need for the state to work on social cohesion initiatives and for proper capacitation of the police, law enforcement, immigration. That is the route that needs to be taken. But I am obviously apprehensive that it might go the other way, that they might go the route of profiling and the sort of negative tack towards supporting this kind of sort of populist anti-migrant position that unfortunately not only is the your anti-migrant movements, but they're also even maybe officials who are also taking a similar line.
Thank you very much indeed. James Chapman is head of advocacy and a legal advisor at the Scalabrini Centre of Cape Town. Appreciate your time.